the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and the first verse. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, in the first verse. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. This is a very precious and sacred book, the Book of Ruth. We find in it the wondrous work of the Lord, both in the life and experience of dear Naomi. And two, we find the wonderful work of God wrought in the heart of dear Ruth. And may the Lord bless us each with the religion that those dear women were favoured with. But then we find the wonderful work of God in Boaz, and how the Lord wonderfully favoured him. Much could be gone into concerning the chapters previous to our text, of how the Lord wonderfully brought Ruth in his divine power out of Moab, and then brought her to the field of Boaz to be a real gleaner there. And then in the third chapter, where she was brought into the threshing floor to lie at the feet of Boaz. And not only that, but to hear his voice. And we find concerning Boaz, he was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And here in our text, it was so. Well, this word seemed laid upon me yesterday, and I trust it is the Lord's message to bring before you. One feels to need much grace and heavenly anointing to open it up a little. Let us firstly remember that the customs in those days were so different than today. And Boaz, we read, then went Boaz up to the gate. This was the gate of the city. And this was the place where they used to go up to meet their kinsfolk. And there was a purpose in Boaz going up, because this was the field that Naomi wish to sell of her late husband's. And the custom was to offer it to the next of kin. But this one that came did not wish to purchase it, because in purchasing it he had got to purchase Ruth as his wife. And as we read, and you can read it again at your leisure, how he felt it would mar his inheritance. But the Lord was in the matter, you see. Boaz was to be favoured not only to purchase the field, but to have Ruth as his beloved wife. Above the gate of the city was the law house, where the laws had to be administered and fulfilled. And this is why Boaz went up there. And we see here how in the verse following he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye here," and they sat down. They were like, as it were, witnesses to all that was to take place. There's no doubt that Boaz too was an elder of the city. They were characters that were discerning. They were characters that had to fulfill what the law was. And they were to witness all that was to take place. But I don't want to just tarry upon this historical part, though of course there was much teaching in it. I want to look at this text, and I hope the Lord help me and open it up to us, because in it there are some very sweet things. "Then went up Boaz to the gate and sat him down there." Firstly, he had the desire to go up to this gate. You know, there are many gates which the Lord will put in the hearts of his dear people to go up to. We think particularly of the gates of God's house. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to go up to that gate, to watch the Lord work, to hear his voice, to know his will, and to receive something for our souls. And dear Boaz here, he goes up to the gate and he sat down there. And really, not only was Boaz a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, he's a beautiful type of God's dear people, just as Joseph was. There were many ways which Joseph was a beautiful type of Christ, but too he was a beautiful type of the Lord's dear children, because though many things in the heart of Joseph and of Boaz are the things that God's dear people, long to know and experience, like Boaz and Joseph were favoured. But what particularly was with me was this, that Boaz was to speak. And you see, as he goes up to this gate and sits down, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. You see, not only was he to speak collectively to those that came by, there were those he had to speak to personally. And I felt when this text came, what a wonderful thing if we personally know the Lord Jesus speaking to us. There's a beautiful illustration of this in the case of the woman of Samaria. You remember when Jesus was weary and he sat thus on the well. He'd gone up to that well, up to the gate of the well, needing water. And as he sat on that well, there came the dear woman of Samaria, didn't they? And you look how he spake to her personally. She was to hear his voice, the voice of Jesus. My great concern was when this text came, may we each know personally the Lord to speak to us, like Boaz spoke to this kinsman. And we read, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto whom he said, ho. Now, there are two things I want to look at here. First of all, this kinsman, and secondly, the ho that he spoke. You see, the simple meaning of a kinsman is one that is next of kin, very close. And this kinsman, we're not told who it was, but there's no doubt there was a wonderful relationship between the kinsman and Boaz. And look at it regarding us. And this is what, so search me when the text came, what relationship is there between our souls and the Lord Jesus, the heavenly Boaz? Are we next of kin to him? One close to him? One that has a blessed relationship with the heavenly Boaz? You know, it's a wonderful thing. We're favoured, aren't we? Each of us with those close to us by the ties of nature. They're our kinsmen. Those of the same family. But oh, think about it spiritually. Have we a heavenly Boaz that we are kinsmen of? Of course, another meaning of kinsman is one that is redeemed, purchased. And as the Lord Jesus purchase his dear people? What did he purchase them with? No money of earth, but by his precious blood being shed. They were purchased people. And you see, what is so solemn about this is there's no relationship between the Lord Jesus and the ungodly, is there? There's no relationship between the real poor sinner that needs the Lord and the world. They cannot walk with them. They may have natural ties with them, but they can't walk with them in the things of God. Now, this kinsman, you see, was close to Boaz. And we look in your heart and mine as we venture into this new year. Oh, that we might be walking close with the Lord, the heavenly Boaz, and feel that wonderful relationship. What did the Apostle Paul speak of that word to the church in Corinth, that they had to come away from so many things, their idols, the city of idolatry and the worldly company, the natural religion that many had in Corinth. And what does he say to them? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And then listen, and I will be a father unto you. There's that real relationship, you see. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Oh, the Lord claims his children, and there's that wonderful relationship with him. They have communion with him, fellowship with him. They can walk with God. You think of what it's recorded concerning dear Noah and concerning Enoch. You read back in the book of Genesis, what do we read concerning they both walk with God? And poor soul, you cannot walk with God and walk with the world, and nor can I if we are his children. Oh, to be found walking with the Lord. Well, let me come low. Is there a desire in your poor heart like that of the hymn writer when he said, oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, may it exercise us much as we enter in this new year, that we might be among the kinsmen of the heavenly Boaz. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. It wasn't by chance this kinsman came by. He was all appointed. Wonderful thing to see the Lord's appointments. And as we venture into this new year, may we see the Lord's divine appointments. He has appointed time to bless his people. He has appointed time to bless the church of God. It wasn't by chance he passed by, was it? You think of the dear man that fell among the thieves. We know he was going the wrong way. He was going from Jerusalem, the holy city, to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. There were those that passed him by, the priest and the Levite, weren't they, on the other side? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He was all appointed that the man should fall among those thieves. But it was all appointed that that certain Samaritan should come where he was. God's divine appointments. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? His wise appointments to admire. And so we find here that he came, as Boaz spake, he came by. And may the Lord come where each one of us are. But then, unto whom he said, ho. There's only three times in God's word where this is used. Here in the experience of Boaz speaking to the kinsman. It is recorded too in Isaiah with that beautiful word in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy. Now, the other occasion is in, if I remember rightly, is in Zechariah. But this word, ho, it was spoken here, and it is spoken each time in God's word, to call attention. To call one to attention. Ho! It was to cause this kinsman to stop, to listen. Some of the old preachers used to say, and those of us that kept sheep will often know that the old shepherds, they used to go out and the sheep were feeding in the field, and if they wanted those sheep attention, they used to cry out, ho, ho. It was to call them to attention. Now this kinsman was to be called to attention. And may each of us take heed to that today. May we hear the Lord speaking that to us, to call us to attention. We're so often listening to ourselves, aren't we? We're so often listening to our own carnal minds. We're so often listening to man. Or we're so often listening to Satan. But the Lord will have his dear people called to attention. And we need to be called to attention, don't we? In several ways. We need to be called to attention to consider our end. Some of you young ones may say, oh, but I've got a long life before me. How do you know you have? How do I? In my early days, if I may just drop a personal note, and I had much affliction in my boyhood days, I often used to think, well, will I live to get old? It used to really concern me, and especially when there were several at the chapel that were taken home suddenly from this earth. We need to be called to attention to consider our end. As I've said several times in the funerals of the past year, it won't be somebody else's funeral, it'll be ours. We need to be called to attention to consider our end. The psalmist said, didn't he? So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then, like a child needs calling to attention, if danger is near, don't they? You know, if there's a wild dog roaming around the house, the dear mother would immediately call the child's attention lest it should be bitten by the dog. Danger is near. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Dangers of every shape and form. And we need to be called to attention to listen to what the Lord will speak. And you see, this man, this kinsman, had to be called to attention because something important was to be spoken to him. Vital matters concerning him. And you think of it in your own soul. Oh, to be called to attention. How such an one. But what was particularly upon one's heart was this. You see, this kinsman was to personally hear from Boaz's lips. Oh, he was. Now look in your heart. Do you long personally to hear the Lord speak to you? How many times is our prayer, Lord, do speak? Do speak. You think of little Samuel, you dear children, and learned on in the Sunday school and maybe at home too. You think where he had to come to in that night season when the Lord spoke to him. He thought Eli had spoken, didn't he? And he goes to Eli. And Eli says to him, go back and lie down. But eventually, you know, after those times, he has to say, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord was to speak to him. And you know, Samuel needed calling to attention to listen, even as a little lad, what the Lord was going to speak. I've been reading and doing some research into some of the children that have passed away in days past, and you know, it's very sweet to read some of the experiences of those little children that were taken into eternity. Some of them only 5 years or 7 years or 9 years of age. And they were all brought to hear the Lord speak personally to them. And they longed to hear his voice. You know, none are too young for the Lord to speak to. You think as dear Samuel. And let us take heed to that, because what the Lord said to Samuel was not words of sweet comfort and encouragement, were they? You think he spoke to Samuel of the solemn things that were to come upon Eli's house. That the ears of everyone, the Lord said, would tremble. And Samuel had to pause and consider to hear what the Lord was speaking. And you see the Lord speaking all the time. It'd be a wonderful mercy, wouldn't it, if the floods that have flooded, and we sympathise wholly with all those that have suffered so much with those floods of this country. But you know, it's the voice of God. But how many will take heed to it? He's speaking, you see. And he can use such things as this as a voice to call sinners to attention, to consider their standing. how such a one, oh, may we lay to heart what is recorded here. Turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. But what seemed to rest upon me, just tarrying with this personal hearing of the Lord's voice, he speaks to sinners. And as he speaks to his dear people, he'll give them faith to lay hold of what he speaks. Oh, he will. I think of your poor heart and mine. You know, we're all sinners, aren't we? And you think of that word that is recorded by the Lord Jesus. And as he speaks to the Pharisees and scribes, what does he say? And we read this, when Jesus heard it, this was what the Pharisees were saying, because he sat down with publicans and sinners. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, may the Lord favour us to hear him say that to us, but sinners. You see how far Christ reached out to sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. Oh, consider Paul's this morning. He came to save sinners. May that be of sweet comfort to you that feel so much your sinnership, so much your blackness, so much your vileness. He came to save sinners. And faith will reach out to such a word as that. Oh, it will. And oh, may we pause and consider it this morning. How? Such an one, such a sinner, Christ came into the world to save sinners. What does the Apostle Paul say? Of whom I am chief. And he knew what it was to feel to be the chief of sinners, didn't he? And may that be of sweet comfort to you this morning. He came not to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Oh, to be a repenting sinner, needing his mercy. But then, secondly, we think of what Paul wrote to the Romans, and it's this, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love. And oh, poor soul, think of it this morning. Who is to know that love? It's sinners. He commendeth his love. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly convey that to you this morning. And faith in your poor heart reaching out for it, Lord. May we have a taste of that love. May we have a taste of the love of Christ in our poor soul. Such an one, think of it, such an one as this. You think of this such a one, of the dying thief upon the cross beside the dear Lord Jesus, such an one. How, such an one. Be a wonderful thing this morning, wouldn't it? This second Lord's Day in January 2014, if you and I are such an one. The favour to hear him speak, I came to save sinners, or to convey his love into your poor heart, love to sinners. The hymn writer says, love to those that know the Lord. But then there was a third point that rested upon me. And it's in the book of the Psalms, where the dear psalmist speaks this. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And you know, I was thinking of such an one. What does it say in this 68th Psalm? Yea, for the rebellious also, such an one. Oh, such an one. Oh, may we be among these such an ones that he came into this world to save. A Mary, a Manasseh, a dying thief, the woman of Samaria, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, such an one. Oh, may the Lord sweetly assure us we're among thee, such an one. Oh, such an one. Such an one. You see, this was personal for this kinsman. Oh, it was. Oh, to have personal dealings with the heavenly Boaz, such an one. He was to earn, to be favoured here with such an one, to deal with Boaz, and know Boaz dealings with him, and yet, look at it regarding the heavenly Boaz, to have dealings with such an one, as you and I. You know, that was very sweet to me, as such an one, you see. That what do we sing in the hymn, and then I must leave it, but the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. Such a one, such a vile sinner, he's able to plead that precious blood of Jesus. But you see, faith will reach out to these blessed words. Oh, they will. Lord, may they be mine. Wonderful thing is faith, isn't it? It reaches out for the promises, for the tokens from the Lord. And it wants them for itself. Well, I've hinted at a few things. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. He didn't come by chance, did he? It was all for appointment. Of whom he said, ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. May that be the sweet experience of us each. Amen.